Hi, I'm Jessica St. Clair.
And I'm June Diane Raphael.
And this is
The Deep Dive.
We're about to do what women have done for centuries. We're crowding around the fire with our generous haunches. We got babies hanging off our tits, and we're going to share with you our fears.
That's right. Our joys.
Our tips on how to stay alive.
Now, Jess, we are heeding a call that no one has made.
Not a soul, but you're invited to listen.
Absolutely, because we make one promise and one promise only. We will not Google a thing.
Because frankly, we're too damn tired.
Please get ready to go on
The Deep Dive.
Hi, Jessica.
June, I have a huge announcement.
Okay, I'm listening. I'm all ears.
I'm a Target. I like Target.
Oh. What happened?
We've been teasing that we will be having the Deep Dive Academy of Significance for significant people. And one of our segments, I had Lennon take me to Target the way she do. And it was on a Tuesday morning. It was the Eagle Rock Target, which is three floors. And we leisurely walked.
I'm so curious you went to the Eagle Rock Target, because I know that Target.
That's her home Target.
That Target is almost off-brand to me as a Target. Are you talking about the same Target?
Yeah, it's like a three-story. You could live there. If you had to, like, if there was a zombie apocalypse and you had to stay somewhere, it would be the Eagle Rock Target. There's everything.
Okay, that, I'm thinking of a different Target.
I'm thinking of the
Highland Park Target.
No. This is
Eagle
next
Park.
To a,
Eagle.
This is next
Chuck
to
E.
a
Cheese.
Chuck E. Cheese.
I know exactly where it is. Okay, that's a great Target. That's a great Target.
Lennon took me in there and Uncle Josh was filming, and then we got told to shut our cameras off and
of course.
Lennon was like, I guess that's a wrap. And I'm like, no. We'll get scarce. We'll go upstairs. Like, she was so
It's
panicked.
Renegade. Like, don't ask me for a fucking permit to shoot an iPhone video in Target, please.
But
this is where sometimes I'm like, fuck the government. Like, this is where the Republicans get me, where I'm just like, fuck you.
Yeah. And it was like, so anyway.
My personal freedom.
She was very uncomfortable, but we shot it. And she took me through with, like, and I saw it through a newborn's eyes, and I fell in love, and I fell hard, and I've been back like six times. I actually think I have a problem, and I've been buying. The Threshold line is killing it. The linens, the Casa Luna linens. I've bought so many fake plants because I'm like, well, I can't keep a plant alive. Why am I trying? I can't stop. Jojo Gaines. Delivering me farmhouse classics, the quality, you know, the order, the peace.
Although I want to say something about farmhouses.
Okay.
And the modern farmhouse and that trend, I think it's run its course.
In that it's timeless? I mean, I don't want a gigantic clock on my wall. I don't want a sign that says fresh eggs here, because honestly, the things in my house actually came from a farmhouse in the 1800s. Like I told you, when I moved
out
here,
I had a
U-Haul. And what I did was I ran into my mother's house and I started loading up things from the 1800s that she's gotten in New Hampshire. And then
Smart.
I took it across the country. And so when she comes over, she's like, what the, my milk chest, how did you get that in there? I just, quick as a bunny.
By the way, I'm not even talking about like real farmhouse items. I'm just talking about that LA trend. Like every Vanderpump Rules star had a modern farmhouse, the white and the black and the,
I know.
And then the big open, you know, I'm just like, we gotta stop.
We're not Mormons
already.
We gotta end it.
We gotta end it. You know what's so funny is I'm going to connect Target to like the bigger picture right now, because I received an email from you today. We had a lot of business to go over together. And it was clear as a bell. You put it all in one email. I didn't receive a text saying, hey, with some information. I didn't receive several emails. I didn't. It was a Target email.
Oh, I had just been to Target, which
well, it's no. And there you have it. It was a Target branded email. It was organized. It was clear. It was concise. It had headers.
It had headers and spacing and then questions after answer, yes or no. It's like when you write somebody an email and a note in school, and Dan always remembers he wrote this girl and said, "Do you like me? Yes or no?" And she wrote, I like you, but I like Danny W. better.
Oof.
So that was like, but that wasn't an option. It wasn't yes or no, or do you like Danny W. better? It was yes or no. So like, thanks for your feedback. Again, like that DM, like thanks for that feedback, but go fuck
thanks
yourself.
Thanks for that feedback. So that wasn't an option.
But I was giving you yes or no. Do you want to do it? If yes, then this. If no,
yeah,
then
it was like
this.
A flow chart.
It was a choose your own adventure. And I went to Target because, you know, BB and I share a very similar brain, and there's always chaos when we go out the door, and I get frustrated and she gets frustrated. And I said, let me see what Target has to offer in terms of organization of shoes.
And they got a lot on that subject.
And didn't I put together by myself a shoe rack for the front door that has a place for your backpack and your shoes? If you're going to set your kids up for success, you cannot get frustrated with them if you don't set them up for success. It's changed my life. Target has changed my life. I'm never going to stop loving TJ Maxx, but I'm going to, and Home Goods, but I'm telling you that I'm seeing the way the light shining at me through Target. And I think that a Target and a Home Goods can love each other. And they can make each other better.
That's right.
They can make each other better. They have to be open to being influenced by one another.
Yes. We cannot experience great joy unless we know the depths of sadness. We cannot enjoy simplicity unless we know what chaos feels like. And there's beauty in both, by the way. And there's pain in both. It's like... These things we must expand to hold both the Target versions of ourselves and the TJ Maxx, Home Goods, Marshalls version. I'm going to throw Marshalls in there too. Marshalls versions
of ourselves. They're all part of the same family. I was their spokesperson for 3 years, you know, and that was the happiest 3 years of my life, and I'll never get that back. But I think that it's been so wonderful to be influenced by you. It's been wonderful to, you know, embrace that organization is possible in my house and makes me feel calmer. But boy, does it take time. That's the other thing. It's like I committed to myself, I'm going to clear off these counters every night because, yeah, it's causing it. But God damn it, it's like 10:30. I'm still cleaning off counters. You know, it's like, so I know that as it gets more of routines, ADHD is all about routines too. It's like we do it every day. It's like every day.
You know, I'm going to share a hot tip because by the way, like I think, and maybe that poster felt like I struggle with organization. Like right now I am sitting here and I'm like, I have bags just from the tournament.
Yeah.
By the way, I just opened that lovely present. Did you get me that keychain?
Of course I did. Boo,
that was so sweet of you, love. And I love it.
I'd wanted to say, but I didn't get to write the note because I was dealing with the dry eyes. What I wanted to say is if we're going to have multiple sets of keys hidden from us, we might as well have a nice looking keychain. Il Bisante, that was the name of the leather keychain. Okay.
And it's so beautiful, and I can grab my keys so much. I can actually find my keys easier with that thing. It's like why I like the Beats being a fluorescent yellow. I can see them. So, but just know that I only opened that yesterday because I hadn't even gone through the bags with shoes, and my wallet had never been taken out.
My wallet's at a store. My wallet is at a store right now. I just remembered they emailed me to say we found your wallet. On a shelf. But instead of going and getting it, I went to Target and bought some more faux plants. Because here's the other thing.
You put everything on Apple Pay now.
Of course. And if you aren't going to keep a plant alive, Why are you setting yourself up for failure, boo?
Oh, I love fake plants. You know that fake plant in my living room.
God, that's what inspired me.
Looks pretty good, doesn't it?
Guess what?
Nobody knows.
Free yourself. Free yourself from watering fucking plant. I'm going to go away for 3 weeks this summer. You know I decamp to the East Coast for 3 weeks, and God knows I don't want to have to worry about these fucking plants. These motherfuckers are going to stay alive until I'm dead.
We cannot keep plants alive. It's too much. It's out of our, and I think it's wonderful to accept. It's out of our, it's out of the realm of possibilities.
It's out of our purview. And that's what we're going to talk to our wonderful guest about.
It's not a part of our scope of work.
Thank you. We're going to talk about to our guest, Elise Lonen, about her book, but also about her views on motherhood and how we're taking on too much. But anyway,
I just want to say to you, I just wanted to offer one thing. And obviously I saw it at a TikTok. But it's one of your favorite TikTok stars, Casey Davis.
Okay.
Is that her name? Am I pronouncing it right? Casey Davis. Yes. So she taught me a trick because, you know, lots of times I struggle with getting the breakfast plates out of there. And a part of that is like, I'm not scheduling things correctly, but like, I can't seem, and then they're there. And
if I see a dried egg on a fucking plate at 1 p.m., that's it for me.
It really brings me down. So she had a tip, and God damn it, it's a fucking hack. Yeah. And now I'm going to say this, it might sound like the dumbest thing, like everybody, this is common sense. But for some of us, again, who weren't taught to clean, whose parents didn't really know how to do it, like this was actually really useful for me. She does rounds around the kitchen. And the first round is everything that needs to go back in the fridge. So you're walking around. You're not looking at all the other mess. You're just looking at OJ, butter, almond milk, half and half. You grab those. Those go back. Second round is trash. Okay, trash, trash, trash. Trash is out. Okay, third round, any linens, anything that needs to go in the laundry. And you're looking at the whole kitchen. Picking up these napkins, sweatshirt, someone's uniform, scrimmage shirt, laundry. Now we're going to attack the plates.
Friends. Yes.
And it's really like... And then poof, I honestly fucking felt like Mary Poppins. I was like, it's gone? And attacking, I know this sounds insane, attacking it that way as opposed to what I usually do, which is like, I guess I get the plates off first.
No.
But I don't really know. And now I'm putting OJ back, but now I'm like, oh, but the butter. And now I got to go back in. And
I'm nodding because I read Struggle Care or How to Keep, I'm sorry, Struggle Care is her podcast, How to Keep House While Drowning, I read. And that is the one thing that I took away. It's five things. It's called five things. I think it's first, this is, might be for the kitchen, might be different, but first is always for me, trash. But God damn it, do I clean a fucking room fast. And I also have baskets everywhere. So that
to put
laundry
that,
basket.
She's a big pronoun. Yes.
And again,
this is upstairs.
Jojo, Threshold. They all have it at Target. The baskets. Also, you can get some great baskets at TJ Maxx, but at Home Goods. But yeah.
And Michael's is always good for baskets.
And Michael's is always great for baskets.
Always good for baskets.
You can't have enough baskets, quite frankly. You
turns
can't.
Out.
Turns out. You can't. You can't. So I have been doing that, and that is specifically designed for an ADHD brain. Because we can look at a task like that and be so overwhelmed, and also we get distracted. So like, I'll be like, oh, I'm putting the butter away. Wait a second. I should clean the fridge. And then like 3 hours later, I'm like, oh my God, I missed the podcast. Like, so that's actually to keep you on task and to keep
it's
you from
really
getting distracted.
Helpful.
And like, you're not supposed to take your trash out to the garbage outside until you're done.
Don't worry,
with
I never do.
Right, of course. So it's been so fat. And, you know, I finally said to Dan, I was like, I'm never going to fold a piece of laundry ever in my life.
Neither will I.
And he actually...
Laundry is a bridge too far for me.
I can put the laundry in and I can switch it. And I'll do that all day and night. But I said, Dan, I'm 46 years old. I'm never going to fold a piece of laundry again as long as I live. He happens to be a wonderful folder.
Oh, what a beautiful marriage. Yeah.
And so we've been doing, yeah, it's okay to say, I'm never going to keep a plant alive. I'm never going to fold another piece of laundry as long as I live.
Long story short, I'm very proud of you. And I see Target. Now, Cody just said we're like Freaky Friday and switching roles, you know, and I think there is a transference happening. There is a transference happening, like where now you're getting in order. Maybe I'm freer to, you know, fall apart over here in chaos. That's very possible.
Yeah. And I'm just working on that self-love piece. And I know it's like we keep talking about the same thing, but I'm just like, you know, just learning to both love yourself and also take those hacks, take those TikTok hacks, but also like if they work for you, great. If they don't, they don't. And some days you're not going to unpack the bag, and that's okay.
That's okay too. That's okay too. I mean, again, I have 5 different bags right now and I carry big bags, you know, big bags. And then of course there's some little bags in those big bags.
Yeah, of course.
But bags there are 5 different bags.
Susie Nakamura's
there's so many bags within bags. I have 5 different bags floating around this house with various things in them. There's like a stray hair extension in each. And it's just,
you never want to see loose hair. I do want to share a book. Hold on 1 second. In our deep dive academy for significant women, we are going to have a show and tell section, which every week you're going to have something shared with you from June and I that we're up to. But I did pick this book up at the store that I left my wallet at called Connoisseur Kids.
You're single-handedly keeping retail alive.
During a strike? Doesn't seem
smart. You really
are.
Single-handedly, like people say retail is dead, and yet whenever you're you always seem to be coming from a store, a physical brick and mortar, or leaving one.
Looking for dopamine. But this book, Connoisseur Kids, it says etiquette, manners, and living well for parents and their little ones. Now, it is written by a woman who wrote Madame Chic, which is a great book about French life. But this book, June, is all the things that we were not taught. How to clean your room. How to write a...
Is this for children?
This is for children and their parents.
Wow.
So, how to clean your room. Because Casey Davis says you cannot send them up to their room and just say, clean your room, because they don't know what that means. And then they get frustrated. How to make homemade wrapping paper.
And I don't know what that means.
I don't either.
I'm not going to be doing that.
How to address. How to write a thoughtful letter. How to write a thank you note. How to tidy while traveling.
Pass.
Practice tidiness habits. Keeping the whole house tidy. Table manners. Tidying the bathroom. How to donate things. It's literally everything that you need to be taught as a child. Table manners, countertop duty, floor duty, making sure when you go to dinner at a person's house, what you do.
Really scared of how my children are behaving at other people's homes.
After the pandemic, a lot of them don't know how to use cutlery. Did you know you're supposed to thank the chef, thank the cook before you leave? May I be excused? But before you even say that, you say, thank you so much for dinner. It was delicious. May I be excused? Like, these are things that I'm just a good handshake. What a good handshake entails.
I definitely want to get this book.
I'm excited. And you work through them and then you say, okay, here's some games we can do. And, you know, and here's some things we're going to practice this week. So I threw it back to BB. She looked at it for about 5 seconds and then screamed at me to throw on some Taylor Swift. How to brush your teeth. Okay. So
love it.
I'm
love
liking
it,
this.
Love
I'm liking
it, love
this
it.
Because I'm just, we talked, again, it's a recap podcast of our entire year, but I'm realizing how many things I don't know. as a 46-year-old woman that I literally don't know. And I want to make sure I teach them to BB. Like, I want her to go to school, to college, knowing how to do her laundry, make a breaded chicken cutlet, set the table, change the sheets.
Now, listen, I didn't know any of that when I went to college.
And you almost joined a cult within the first week.
That's true.
By accident.
I know. I wanted to follow that with like, and look at me, you know, but I can't. It doesn't ring quite true. Like, I didn't know any of it. I just sort of figured it out.
Somebody online at orientation said, "You have the most beautiful eyes. Would you like to come to a group?"
I almost joined a Christian cult. I also had a giant sty on one of my eyes that I got the first day I arrived at school.
And she, okay, and you bulb, still let her compliment
you. Sty. I did. I was like, wow. I thought she was amazing. You know, Jess, I know. It's funny because you came over yesterday with Tiffany Gabris, and I did do a frantic, like, pulling things off. You know, there was a lot of shit on that little hutch when you walk in. And I was like, I still want them to walk in and see this. I didn't do much for you, to be quite honest.
It looks great in there. Do you know what I do, though? Do you want to hear something secret? This is so strange. This is so strange, this confession. These are my confessions. I love people's kitchens. And I only do this to the people I love the most. I love your ice maker. So I went over, I got myself a glass ice.
I didn't even see you do this.
And you can choose crushed or cubed. And that to me is luxury. I don't have an ice maker. I don't know why. Couldn't fit it in the space. God, it's just so wonderful. So I always do that at your house. You never notice. Help myself.
I never noticed that.
And then I needed to find out where the glasses were, but I was like, I want to see what her snacks are about.
You went looking. You went peeking around.
I peeked at your snacks.
Well, were you impressed?
Yes, because I think you can learn a lot about a parent, about a family.
By the snacks they keep.
By the snacks they keep. Lennon, one of the best snacks. She almost has an entire closet devoted to snacks. Snacks up the wazoo.
I worried you only opened one because there's actually two cabinets, and one, I have savory snacks, I have sweet snacks. So I'm not sure where you went.
I was sweet. I was straight up like individual bags of Chips Ahoy, which I considered taking, but then I had made like a no sugar challenge to myself that I only lasted until 9 p.m. And also I was like, I'm supposed to be listening. There's a business meeting going on. And the fact that I'm looking at the snacks is so strange. And like June's going to come in and be like, why are you opening all of my cabinets? But I'd love to look at the inside of people's cabinets that I love.
Oh,
But you should ask first. Isn't that strange that I did that yesterday?
Not at all. Now, had you gone into like the hutch where it's like a catch-all of like dog leashes, I don't know, cleats, shin guards. Like there were things in there.
Sure.
Unopened boxes. Like there were things in there. I wouldn't want anyone to see how that was organized. My snacks though, like I'm thrilled you saw me in that way. Now, but I have to tell you, because Casey is always, and actually Juliana, our nanny, is very disturbed by the snacks we keep because she's just like, they're like, how can you have bags and bags of like M&Ms and
oh well that's because you have some sort of, you don't go crazy on that stuff the way Casey and I would be. We can't.
It's just funny though because I grew, but that's Paul Scheer. So I grew up in a home where the best you could do was like a sleeve of saltines and a Diet Coke. Like that's the
Dan.
Best
Dan
could
was
do.
Like you could get maybe an English muffin, maybe
if you're lucky. Okay.
But I had like full size Hershey bars. I had
not in my house.
Fucking tasty cakes. Which do you know what
not
a tasty? Do you know yourself a tasty cake?
Of course I do.
You can't get them out here.
Of course I do. No, that's East Coast. But I also had a mom who was like, you know, part of the 80s diet craze and
right. She's all
Snackwells or whatever. Snackwells was the very
disgusting.
Best you could do.
Yeah.
I don't even know if Snackwells are in existence, but I would house a box of Snackwells. And they never tasted like real Oreos. They were always disgusting. Not what you wanted. And so I had to eat all of them to try to get closer to the feeling, you know. But then I started dating Paul, and he was always, and he's still this way. We go travel. He needs to know pretty much immediately where the nearest Target is. Talk about a Target person.
I didn't know this about him. I gotta take, I'd love to take Paul to Target. I'm going to take Paul to Target.
He's immediately identifying the nearest Target. It's almost like he's like has to recharge there, has to center himself there and know that we're close.
Wow.
And he's immediately going to a Target. I'm like getting the kids settled, whatever. Like, and he's going there and he's immediately purchasing a couple of bottles of water, a large container of some sort of M&M or trail mix situation. The monster mix from Target is pretty much fucking next level.
Wow.
And a full-size bag of Twizzlers and something crunchy like
bag of potato Twizzlers.
Always. It's like he must have snacks.
Snacks make him feel safe.
Yes.
Well, that's so what I felt when I
married
opened up
into
that.
Snacks.
That's what I felt. And Lennon is the snacks queen over there. It's her husband is, you know, always doing a triathlon. But there's straight up Nilla wafers. You ever seen yourself a Nilla wafer?
Whoa.
There is always a box of Nilla wafers in Lennon's cabinet. Always.
Let me ask you something. Do you ever remember a cookie? It's part wafer. They were called social teas.
No.
No.
Did they have a
throw it out to the deep dive?
Did they have like an Oreo middle in it?
You know,
social teas.
They had, I can't even, no, they were more of just a cookie / wafer. And I'm really going to have to do more research on it. But my father ate social teas and they were always in our house. And that was like the treat you could get was this,
right,
we were
but
good
you didn't
for
really
social teas
it.
And we were good for saltines and Diet Coke. We ran on Diet Coke.
And I ran on Classic Coke. And a Classic Coke and a Diet Coke can love each other too.
Absolutely. Coke Zero, though, I don't have any space for.
I don't know who you are then. You're fucking, you live
I
in
I really
like,
don't.
You're like.
I really don't.
You're living in southern Spain or something. I don't know. You don't even live in America if you like.
Yeah, it does feel very Euro. Yeah.
God, I would love for the deep divers, just for my own, to post
about
their
your
favorite
snack identity.
Snacks. I'd like to see the inside of their snack cabinet.
Whoa. Whoa.
Hashtag snack attack. Hashtag deep dive. I'd love to see.
Don't be
organizing that shit. Don't go organizing.
No. Come as you are. Bring your
Come
snacks as they are.
You are. I want to see those snacks. And
this is
okay.
This is a deep dive.
Snacks.
This is getting to the bottom of things. This is cutting to the heart of the matter.
It sure is.
I want to ask our guest, that's our first question, is what are you snacking on? Because it really does say a lot. It's like, what are you reaching for in the moments
and
when...
And it better not be a handful of motherfucking almonds.
Almonds? If you tell me it's 12 almonds...
Then I'm going,
like,
end,
I'm gonna punch
end
in the fucking
zoom,
face.
End
zoom.
Zoom
now. If you tell me it's an apple, like, go fuck yourself.
No.
I want to know what you're really reaching for and what's in that cabinet.
Like, who's a Pringle? Who the fuck is eating Pringles? There's somebody out there. There's a deep diver out there that's cracking into a sleeve of Pringles. They make a different one now that's sold at Whole Foods that I know is exactly a Pringle. And they're just called like good chips. Like, nope. They taste like, if it tastes like a Pringle, it's a motherfucking Pringle.
That's right. Same
you
with Oreos.
You can't get kind of wafer thin experience without putting God knows what in, okay? Don't come at me with Newman's Own, okay? Oreos.
God, Jess, I can taste those smackles in my mouth right now. I still feel like
disgusting.
I'm residual.
There was
residual
one,
sort of leftover flavor.
There was one that was like a chocolate cake-ish type.
That's
thing
what exactly
like a,
what
like
I'm
a
thinking
chocolate
of.
Chocolate liquid Terrible. Middle that was like a jelly-ish
Terrible.
Middle.
That's exactly what I'm thinking of. I'm still trying to get rid of that taste. I haven't had one for 20 years. Yeah, it's so interesting. I think if I had my druthers, it depends where I'm at. Of course, it depends what time of the month it is.
Yeah.
But what I really love, this is going to be, I really love a pretzel rod.
All right, this is why you can have all those M&Ms in that.
A rod.
Like, you fucking give me a pretzel
rod. Because I go for salty.
It. I'll fucking take it and stab you in the eyeball with it.
Pretzel rod with hummus? That's delicious. Or pretzel rod with peanut butter?
God.
Straight up like Skippy?
What are you talking about? No. No, 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 no. It's the reason why Casey delivered me that 20-pound bag of chocolate that started my sugar obsession and my food issues. That's why we see eye to eye.
See, I'd much rather go salty over sweet. And that's that Target home good, you know, that's the dance. Although salty sweet is honestly one of my favorite combinations.
Umami, baby.
Can we say one other thing about snacks, or we should get off right now?
No, Cody says we can say one more thing about snacks.
The one thing that I have always, that I feel like I can't get at, that actually Casey has that I really want, she has some sort of diet flavored, and I'm talking about orange sodas and grape sodas in her home.
Yes, I've seen that. Like,
okay,
a crush,
you've seen them?
Like a diet orange crush.
And when I was little,
that's crazy.
I was known for my love of orange soda. And I was, every time I went to Friendly's, every time I went anywhere,
ew,
I was like, orange soda, please. That's who I was as a person, was orange soda. And it was my full identity in my family. It was like, she'll take an orange soda. I didn't know anything else. And I've had that diet crush, and it's scratching an itch for me. I don't think I could ever go back to the real thing.
Causing an itch because there's something terrible in it. That's crazy. But also, like, who are the people? I know who the people are. One of our pod families always has a chilled Perrier in a glass bottle, just waiting.
Well, that's elevated.
And I'm like, what am I doing? Am I here for a network meeting and I'm being offered a cold beverage? But that's treating yourself. That's what snacks are showing
me. Nice.
Snacks, you don't need snacks to survive. So tell me what you're giving
that's
to yourself
exactly
and
right.
to your kids. And you got to have, I remember Julia Louis-Dreyfus said, you got, sorry to name check, but her boys loved being at her house. And she said, you
want to
be
known for your snacks.
You got to be known for snacks. Especially if you have boys. You got to be known
I think
for
we'd,
snacks.
And you saw my cabinets.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I think that they're grabbing for an individual thing of Chips Ahoy. You know, yes.
And I don't want to call her out, but I have a good friend and our kids are our friends. And we have had a lot of trouble with my kids going over to hers for sleepovers and whatever because she doesn't have shit.
Yeah, nothing bad.
She doesn't have shit. And even like once they were like, can we have syrup on these waffles? And she was like, here's a pat of butter. Anyway, deep diver, show us your snacks. It is going to be a snack attack this week online. I'm so excited to see what people are working on.
Hashtag show us your SNAX snacks.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I want to see.
And we are so excited for you all to hear this conversation. Our guest will be on in just a moment.
June, we have a treat. We're staring at her right now. She's in a little striped mariner top. She is effortlessly chic.
That's right.
She is a woman of true significance.
Yes.
And she's a deep diver. And I can't believe it. I couldn't believe it when she Instagram storied about the deep. I like literally lost my mind because I had been listening to her for years on the Goop podcast, and she'd introduced me to so many wonderful healers and people and all of it. So we have Elise Lunan on the podcast,
And it's big for us.
It's really big for us. She is a significant heavy hitter. Okay. This is the kind of woman that just like whips off an essay for the New York Times. You know what I mean? So, which she just did for Mother's Day, which I want to talk about because it devastated me in a good way. But I'm going to give her a quick intro so we know who she is. And then I want to have her on and just have her just talk at us for 35 minutes. Elise Lunan Fismer is a writer and editor living in Los Angeles. She's the host of Pulling the Thread, which is a podcast with Cadence 13, where she interviews cultural luminaries on the big questions of the day. And I got to tell you, Elise is one of the best interviewers in the biz. Previously, she was the chief content officer of Goop. While at Goop, she co-hosted the Goop podcast and the Goop Lab on Netflix and led the brand's content strategy and programming, including the launch of a magazine with Condé Nast. Previously, she was the editorial projects director of Condé Nast Traveler, my favorite magazine. Before travel, this is why I knew it. We're destined. Before Traveler, she was the editor at large and ultimately deputy editor of Lucky Magazine. R.I.P.
I loved that magazine. R.I.P. I loved that magazine.
You know, I had all the back issues ordered.
Yes. Also, I just want to say, like, my first piece of physical press was in Lucky. But
God
anyway,
bless.
Go on.
You should have retired. She also served as the on-air spokesperson, appearing regularly on the Today. On Today, E! Good Morning America, the early show. She has a BA from Yale. Who is she? Rory Gilmore? Jesus Christ. And she majored in English and fine arts. When she's co-written 12 books, 5 New York Times bestsellers, her first book under her own name, On Our Best Behavior, The 7 Deadly Sins and The Price Women Pay to Be Good, is coming out. It will be tomorrow by Dial Press, which is an imprint of Penguin Random House. For more, you can go to EliseLunan.com. Okay, Elise, Jesus Christ.
Welcome, Elise.
You guys, I'm dying.
We're so happy to have you.
Well, I'm fanning out. I am an ardent deep dive listener. I just want you to know, I'm a little scared to show you my nails, June. They are by vow, but they're very neutral.
They are nails by vow.
And they're not.
It. Oh, they're
not long. But
gorgeous.
This is a first for me.
How do you feel?
I'm obsessed with them. They're so sturdy and strong. I keep admiring my hands.
That's right.
And yeah, you know, they were virgin nails.
Virgin.
What do you mean by that? What do you mean by that?
I mean, I've never had a gel manicure. I probably haven't had a manicure since before COVID. I'm an embarrassment to you, June, but I'm trying to redeem myself. And
she likes
reformed.
A virgin.
I'm reformed.
She likes a virgin.
I am shocked. I am shocked. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I'm stunned. But what I'm actually feeling is, I imagine that you are somebody, because if I didn't have bow, if I didn't have these, and I have nubs right now, you know, I'm full nub, but if I didn't have someone doing them, I couldn't take care of them. So that's also, I think maybe we haven't spoken about that, Jess. It's like taking care of them is too far away from me on my own. So I have to
outsource. If I can't keep a plant
it.
Alive, I certainly can't keep my nails. That's, but this is a woman,
maybe,
you worked at Lucky
Elise,
Magazine.
You could, yeah, maybe you can do that on your own. And I think that's great. I just couldn't. Were you polishing them at all before?
No. I would argue with being able to take care of them myself. No, I do not. Cannot
clear polish?
My nails. Nope. Because I pick at it.
You were raw dogging them?
Raw dogging. I know. It makes me feel like not really maybe a full woman. But I, you know, my mom, I have short hair. My mom had short hair. My mom doesn't really wear makeup. I just never learned how to take care of myself in that way. You know? Well,
I look at you as somebody who takes, has, as Jessica said, effortless style, chic. I mean, I have to do all these things and I lean into them because none of it actually comes naturally. So I do feel you in some ways, but I'm overcorrecting, you know, because I don't know either, but I'm glad you have them. They look great. Yeah.
I'm a little addicted to Bao. I love him. And now I can't imagine having him come back just to take them off.
No, you have to just not keep it.
Keep going.
You have to keep going. Well, that's the one thing. Yeah. When you're in, you're in. Now, listen, Elise, listen to me. We cannot have Elise on and just talk about nails, okay?
I know.
Elise, I want to read a passage from this article you wrote for the New York Times because I was so devastated by it in a good way, but I couldn't get out of my car. I had to sit in my garage for like 45 minutes until my husband came out and was like, are you okay? But basically, it's about Elise's own mom and her mother's mother and what it was like to be raised by a mom for whom motherhood wasn't her sole purpose in life and the generational effects of that.
You said she didn't kneel at the altar of motherhood.
That's which exactly
I thought
she
was
did not.
That's
very
right. Powerful.
So I just want to read this quickly. Hold on one second. Okay. I once thought my desperation to prove and claim being a good mother was a hangover from a performative childhood. But as I've grown further into motherhood, weighing my own identity against my mom's, I recognize that her ambivalence is not only a familial trait, but also a cultural one. I carry it too. You can love your kids deeply and hate being a mom. You can hold your children to the bone and still proclaim how sucky it is to be a female parent in America, at least, with our lack of paid family leave or high-quality daycare and the cultural insistence that good women should stake their entire lives on the opportunity. While my mother largely swallowed her resentment and observed the niceties, I am done being good. I am not only done, but also furious that I feel so cleaved in two. This anger is a flame sparked by my grandmother and probably by her mother too. My mother turned her anger into a steady kitchen fire, but in me, it roars. I've built my emotional freedom on the pyre of my mom's honesty, on her willingness to give voice to resentment when so many women felt compelled to lie, even though it was painful at times when I was a child, particularly because she was different from other moms, though I insist not that unusual. She did create a coherent narrative for me. This narrative has proved to be less emotionally confusing than for some of my friends who can sense and yet not name their mother's frustration and rage. They seek to resolve this angst through their own good behavior, not recognizing that they are the collateral damage of their mother's anger, but not its source. It's not actually about them. The ambivalence comes from a societal expectation that you should love the identity of mother and love your kids. There are some women for whom these are easily conflated and conjoined, but for many, they are not. I'm sorry I had to read the whole article. I just had to because
that's quite a passage.
Thank you. It's so beautiful, Elise. And it is a love letter. I found it to be such a love letter to your mom. And I was so moved by it.
Thank you. Yeah, it's one of those pieces that is getting a lot of engagement.
I bet.
As you can imagine, a lot of feedback. Mm-hmm. And it's a bit of a Rorschach test for how people feel, in my sense, how resolved they are about their own mothering or how they were mothered. And it is a total love letter to my mom. I was talking to her this morning. She obviously, she looked at every draft, loved every draft. And when the fact checker called me from the New York Times, I had already provided her information and my dad's information. And she was like, has your mom read this? I just want to know before I call. And they were on the phone for 30 minutes having their own love affair. But yes, like my mom, this is my mom's truth, and she has never buried it in a way that I think illustrates to the rest of us what it would look like to actually name our feelings and process what's happening in our bodies rather than assume that it's unintelligible to our kids. Men don't struggle with this. It's not, we don't question their fidelity to their kids, you know? They're not, it's so much less complicated than it is for women.
Well, especially women of our mother's generation, because like when I talk to my mom and she's like, well, there were two options. I could be a teacher or a nurse.
Yep.
And then I could get married. And yes. half of my friends got married to professors and left college. Like, even to go to college was a struggle for her. She had to fight to go, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's just, I've really been thinking a lot about generational motherhood and how we are trying to break certain chains, you know, and also at this age, we're understanding our mothers in such a different way, because I think we are also like, whoa, what they mm-hmm. had to bear was a lot.
Mm-hmm. And I also, yes, yes. And that, what that Rorschach test, what I took away from your essay was a lot more grace. I felt a lot more grace for myself. Mm. And I think that's what you've offered a lot of us with this, and your mother has offered us. And that's so powerful. I mean, I told Jess, and I talked a little bit about it on the podcast, but for a birthday party that I threw for one of my sons a few weeks ago, or I don't a month ago at this point, but I had pushed it in terms of what my offering was to him. And I had pushed in terms of what I had the capacity to do. And I was overdrawn. I was in overdraft fees from that event. And I expressed it to another woman, a mom that I actually really feel safe and close to. And I had said, like, that wasn't worth it. Mm-hmm. And I've been really feeling guilty about, like, oh, did I say that he wasn't worth it? Did I imply that I wouldn't do anything for him? Because I know the expectation is I would do anything for him. And I would do anything for him. But what I'm trying to express is, like, I want the learning to be that I did give too much of myself, was necessary. Yep. And yes. I want to learn from that. I don't want to do that again. And yet the guilt I felt for expressing that, for saying, like, I kneeled down and I stayed down at the altar, and I lost a piece of myself that weekend in my own celebration of him.
Yes.
And I did too much. Mm-hmm. And after reading this, I was like, ah, it's absolutely okay to feel that way, to feel angry, to feel... It's so not a reflection on how I feel about him, even though I feel I have to say that, you know. But I really appreciated such a loving and careful look at that ambivalence and that anger.
Yeah. No, that's beautiful. And I remember hearing you talk about entertaining the whole class. And these are things, you know, one
again,
of the things,
Lise, never again.
Never again. One of the things that I try to get at in the book too, and this, it's not an excerpt from the book, but it's emblematic of the book, is the difference too between the social inequities that we all feel, this lack of paid family leave, the invisible labor on mothers, the lack of equity in childcare and housework, all of the stuff that we're very conscious of, but that so much of this is also, it's what kills me as a mom is the psychological burden of mothering that I inflict on myself. And I don't think that men understand this. And so I got a lot of really beautiful texts and emails from men in my life who felt like this gave some new insight into this whole dynamic. Because my husband is a lovely feminist, engaged dad, and he doesn't really understand what I put myself through. So case in point, the book comes out next week. I was in New York yesterday for one day to do an event. Then I flew home. I took a 10:15 p.m. flight, landed at 2 a.m. so I could go to my son's parent-teacher conference and make sure that he was properly packed for a school camping trip.
Yep.
And then I'm flying back to New York on Sunday.
That's insane. Right. But it's a man insane. Would most likely yep. stay
and Zoom.
Yeah.
Because that's like the reasonable thing to do. And nobody was telling me that I should physically be there and that it would be bad if I were not. This is me. I'm doing this to myself in the same way, June, that you overextended yourself for your kids' birthday. It's to keep my own bad feelings
at bay. Your guilt.
And so that's like, that's it for us. And that's also why I wanted to write that piece and just lay it out so we could start talking about it together. Because I think as we air it out and you have these like, oh, me too. Like, oh yes, I have that same experience. Mm-hmm. We can help check it in each other. Zoom in this instance would be okay. And yes, my son packed himself for the camping trip. And when I went through it, it was 90% there. But there was no toothbrush.
But he would have survived. He would have survived. You know, we've seen enough Bear Grylls to know he would have survived without the toothpaste. But I think for myself, I have like, I had a stay-at-home mom who killed it in the domestic realm. And I am trying to do both. And I am failing.
Yes, because, go ahead.
I'm failing. Please. I can't do both things. I can't have a perfect house and a big career. I can't be there at every pickup and also try to run a merchandise empire, you know?
Yes. And tournaments.
Tournament almost fucking killed June. It's like I ended up, in the emergency room twice running my own show with Lennon. And it's like, and I had a newborn, and I remember like having to hand breast milk to the set PA, a bag of human milk, and say, can you drive this to Santa Monica? It's fucking
crazy. Jess, now you and I have become like ambassadors for fun and leisure sports in particular. And that requires, it's going to require a certain amount of bandwidth from us.
Yeah.
To be ambassadors of fun. It's just,
it's a job. It's another job.
Yeah. But this is what happens because in the quest for this, fallacious work-life balance with moms who work in and out of the home, you feel like you have to, if you're going to go and put on a pickleball tournament to end all pickleball tournaments, then you have to compensate by spending the same amount of energy and effort on your son's birthday party. And so instead of saying like, oh, I have a book tour and I'm not really going to be available to my family for 3 weeks.
You can't.
It's like, how can I take that same effort and then do the same thing over here to make sure that they're balanced? I think that's what we're just ratcheting it up.
Who loses? Yeah, we are. You. And then, everybody loses, actually, because when mommy is resentful, everybody loses. Yeah.
Yes.
I haven't been the world's greatest mom this week because I've been a human husk and it ain't no one seeing the best side of me. I'll tell you who is. The home section of Target is seeing the best side of me. But other than that, people been getting the dregs. And I just feel like, and I hear all the time ADHD coaches saying, the only way to sanity is to do less. Like you must do less. People with ADHD say yes to everything because it's a dopamine hit. Like, want to go pickleball? Yep. Want to go to the flea market? Uh-huh. Sunday morning, I'm fucking going to a Renaissance fair. Again, I couldn't be more excited.
Sure.
That's insane.
Sure.
When I tell Dan, he's going to be like, what the fuck are you talking about? Do you think I'll be in a good physical state after 3 hours in the blazing sun at a joust at the Hanson Dam?
Are you going to have a turkey leg?
Of course I am. My friend just has a belt, has a special belt that you can attach a beer stein to. I'm filming it. I'm going to film it for the Academy.
And I do, and we have so much to talk about, Elise, but as you know, I know you ran content for Goop, and as you've probably heard, you listened to the deep dive, Jessica's really taking on, she is our chief content officer. So you guys have that. Now, comment on if you want to hook up on LinkedIn or whatever, but
we already hooked up, friend.
She is really our chief content officer. And I don't know if there's any words of wisdom, anything you can impart,
different.
But she is fully taking on our content and I think doing a beautiful job.
Thank you. We'll see. We'll see what comes out in the wash. But Elise, I did find you through the Goop podcast, but I really benefited from all of these people that you introduced me to. And now you're doing it, I think, in an even deeper way on your own podcast. Tell me about how you became that type of person who became a seeker.
Yeah. Honestly, I mean, this will resonate with you all, but one of the big door openings for me was, as of Monday, six years ago, my brother's husband died, Peter. You know, oh, Peter knew you, but you guys worked together where?
At the first job I had.
Tribeca.
At the first job I had when I became an actor, I handed out flyers at the Tribeca Film Festival.
There
was this well-tailored gentleman who I was like, who is he? And how can I get more FaceTime with him? I was very attracted to your brother-in-law. He was special. Yeah. He was special. Special.
Yes. Very special. And I met him when I was 16. He and my brother started dating their first week in college. And he was really more of my brother for, you know, most of my life, more interested in the job. And he died in his sleep 6 years ago and of an undiagnosed rare heart disease.
Oh, wow.
And at his older brother's wedding. And
oh, my gosh.
I know. It was shocking.
Oh,
and nothing like that had ever happened to me. I know you guys have experienced loss. And I had sort of dibble-dabbled. And, you know, I'd spoken to some intuitives and whatnot. But I had a certain extreme desire to know that Peter was okay. And I felt his presence. And I had, right before he died, I had started working on a special package about death. And it was specifically about the practicalities, because my dad's a doctor, he's an intensivist, and he would always say, you know, he'd be in the ICU with the families of people who were on life support and failing, and they would have no idea and no ability to even talk about end of life plans because we are so death averse in our culture. And so I was working on a package about the practicalities of death, like how the most loving thing that you can do for the people in your life is to be prepared so that they aren't guessing and they can honor you and they can find your passwords. And none of it is anything that any of us want to think about. But I was working on that package and I was pulling books off of the shelf in my office, and I pulled off Laura Lynn Jackson's book. I pulled off Proof of Heaven, things that I hadn't read. Mm-hmm. And I started reading one book called... I think it's called Evidence of the Afterlife. It's this oncologist, Jeffrey Long.
Read it.
Okay. Yeah. He's the one who has this survey of near-death experiences from all over the globe. He's been collecting them for decades. And so I started reading these. I just started reading and created this stack on a Friday to take home. Forgot the book. Sunday, Peter died. But I went into the experience.
Oh, wow.
With my soul prepared me, I'm convinced,
for
this experience.
That's wild.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then after he died, I met Laura Lynn Jackson, and who you guys need to know. I know your fans.
Well, we are desperate to get to Casey's, the only weasel who's gotten her way in. God knows.
I can help. I can help.
God help us.
I've
listened to every single word she said.
Yes.
So you met her, and what happened when you met her?
So we were on a phone call, and I was just interviewing her for a story, and I had set her up to do an on-video reading of a coworker, a blind reading the next day. And I didn't ask for a reading. I was embarrassed to do that. And so we were just talking, and we're halfway through the conversation, and she said, I'm really sorry, but... I have someone here. Do you mind? And of course, I was like, absolutely not. And she was like, he's your family, but he's not your family. He's your peer, but he's your brother. Does this make sense?
Wow.
And it was 20 minutes maybe. And it was life-changing. Mm-hmm. It was the minutiae down to, he's talking about all the pictures that were taken of him. Why were there all of these pictures taken? The day that he died. He's telling me about like the egg that he, that you guys are talking about, what he ate for breakfast and, you know, Barry's boot camp. And he's saying that had nothing to do with it and to stop. And he's talking about, you know, this quilt made of shirts, and he's talking about his dog, Wilson, just, and jokes. So that's many
crazy.
Jokes.
That's crazy.
Wow. Yes.
What did he, and, what did he want you to, did he have a message for, I mean, I don't want to do too personal, but what did he want you to know? Like, did he want you to know he was okay?
Yeah, he was, he wanted me to know. And at this point, it had been 2 months. He wanted me to know that he could hear, he was with me. I couldn't, he couldn't talk to me in the same way, but he was talking to me, that he needed me to know that, to pay attention, that he was present, that yes, I'm stuck with my husband and not him, which is an inside joke, but that he's absolutely there. He wanted to know, he had a lot of things to tell my brother about, how he was present in his life, that he wanted him to find love again, like he wanted him to find someone. And same with his parents. And I have felt him so intensely. Everything that's happened to me is a direct, is, I think, a direct line to Peter. And, you know, I don't, he's, and I, there's another woman who's friends with Laura Lynn called Laura Day, who is another incredible psychic medium who is not as soft as Laura Lynn.
Yeah.
But Laura's point too is like with people who are on the other side, they're good at the same things. So you give them jobs. And so if you're, dead person was a lawyer who did contracts, like you ask for interventions and all of the ways that they would have been able to intervene. Yeah. And Peter was like naturally
putting them to work.
And you have to invite, like that's my, my also one of my understandings from all the people I've spoken to. Invite free will is real. They want to help, but you have to ask them in. They're not going to impose on you. So I ask all the time, all the time.
Well,
I will say, I mean, it's wild. Like, I'll be like, I need some cash. Like, I'm feeling scared. And I'll get like a royalty check. Or there's just always these small practical and spiritual nods that to me are undeniable.
That's so beautiful.
Well, I think I wrote you a very insane DM. When I realized we had that you're this Peter in common, because then I wrote you at like 11 p.m. like, Elise, I want you to know, like, he's here. He's, you can talk to him. You can hear him. Like, why the fuck am I Peter's medium to you? You didn't even need to hear it. But it felt like, oh, I got to just remind her.
Yes, we need to do that for each other, because we're also I think people on the other side use us all the time. I feel like you guys have talked about this too, but when you feel compelled to admire someone's earrings, even though you think that they're not cute, there's likely a reason. You compliment that person's earrings and they're going to tell you that their daughter on the other side made them, you know? We're just constantly, I think, supposed to be connecting people.
I feel like an ambassador of fun, sure, but my number one thing is I'm an ambassador of dead people.
Yeah.
Now, I feel that way.
You're like their influencer.
But also, I know that moms never rest on the other side. They're so tired. The mothering doesn't stop. I think we need to get on board for that, okay? So, like, June and I were going through something, and I said, June, your mother's on it. Like, we can rest.
That was nice to hear.
Yeah. And I said, she's proud of you. About the pickleball tournament. She's proud of you.
Well, I also just want to say that you wrote in your essay, Elise, about, it's a young quote, and I'm going to have to pull it up somewhere, but it was something about how...
The unlived life of the parent?
Yes. What's unlived for our parents is what like becomes most present and alive for the child. And I was just thinking so much about that after I read it. And I mean, in a totally different context for you and your mom and what has been unlived for her, although I do wonder what now she's experiencing with this article coming up, but that's a whole other conversation. But I, because she has opened up space for so many, and she's, when I was reading it, it'll make me cry, but looking at those women and the significant impact that other women in her orbit were having, or other women that she'd read about. Mm-hmm. But I was reading your piece, I'm like, but she is having that impact.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was just so cool. It was beautiful. So I hope she feels that. And by being unapologetically exactly who she was, I hope she mm-hmm. feels that. But I was thinking about it in the context of actually, you know, those of us who have mothers who aren't alive, and the unlived, and experiencing, mm-hmm. you know, our mothering through that loss and not having that direct kind of comparison or that voice or that presence, is so alive for me and my like mothering identity. And in some ways, I think has made my mothering so much better, or I feel very awake to it and very present in it, because my mother's life is not being lived right now. You know, it's really informed a lot of the way that I parent, which I'm very grateful for. But yeah, I just wanted to share that with you. It was really, you know, just to wrap up our time here, I do hope everybody reads this piece and reads your book that's coming out, because it really, you know, when you talk about that the very real kind of external conversations and the paid leave and all of the ceilings and all of the sort of forces that are very real and very present for so many moms, and for many moms much harder than other moms. That's all real and that's all true. And also there's that like inner conversation
mm-hmm.
that yeah. is so, that can be so painful. And this piece, and it really speaks to that. And I think helps kind of bring that inner conversation to the community, so we can say, hey, like, this is real for me, and not have it be shadowy. It's so powerful.
Elise, your book, can you give us what you will get?
Yeah, what do we have to look forward to?
What do we yes. get from the treat that yes. will be your book?
So it is effectively about this idea that women are programmed for goodness and men are programmed for power, and that these stories, these voices in our heads that we tell ourselves about our mothering, mm-hmm. about our body size, about our lack of need for rest, about mm-hmm. not having any wants, about servicing other people's needs, of not ever getting upset.
You get into Ozempic at all? Because it's quite a conversation in my group chats.
I sure do. I thought it was breaking news.
We're yes. very fraught with it. It's thrown us into an existential crisis, Elise.
Yes.
Yeah.
So,
okay, great.
The punch card for what it is to be a good woman are these ancient stories, the seven deadly sins. Doesn't matter whether you're raised in religion or not, they actually weren't in the Bible. They came out of the desert in the 4th century, and then they became the cardinal vices in 590 and were assigned to Mary Magdalene.
Know this. Okay.
And no, I didn't know it either. And they are essentially the moralizing arm of the patriarchy. They are lodged in the minds of women. They are sloth, pride, envy, greed, gluttony, lust, and anger. And originally there were eight. Fuck. I wrote an 8th chapter about sadness. Ooh. Because I argue that it's lodged in the minds of men as something to avoid, and that the way that boys and men are cut off from their feelings, mm-hmm. the primary symptom of that is toxic masculinity, which women can suffer from too. But yeah, I do write about Ozempic and gluttony and what it means that we are severing ourselves from our, we're deadening our appetites. And it's one of our primary ways to contact the world. And we're choosing to kill it. What that means about us. So it's just really light. It's actually, it's
curtains.
Not. It's
a light curtains topic. On me today.
No, but you have a way of writing. You have a way of speaking and I know, and writing now that I've read your work too. That is very, yes, you're tackling these enormous issues that are very, you know, thoughtful and huge, big questions, but you do it in a way that is very easily digestible and that feels like talking to a friend, a really great, smart, really thoughtful friend that also you want to say, where'd you get that top? Yeah.
I also think, Jess, and I know you're chief content officer, so this all has to be run by you, Jessica, but maybe this is our first book of our book club.
Oh, boy, oh, boy. Boy, oh, boy,
okay,
oh, boy.
Okay, this might be our inaugural book.
Chef Boyardee. I'm into it. I'm into this. And we could have another little conversation with her. I love this idea. If I come back from the Ren Fair, you know, in...
And that's a big if.
My body, because I tell you what, I'm going to bring sloth. I'm going to bring gluttony.
That's where it's all happening. That's where those, that's where we get to be free. I really
I
think
will
that.
Be a vex sloth.
I love the idea of Elise's book as our first, and we don't even know where this book club exists. We don't have a platform yet. We don't have
don't
all the things,
the
but I'm not worried.
Capricorn?
I'm actually not too worried.
Don't worry
I'm
about
not
it,
too
Cappy.
Worried. Elise, where can we purchase this book? Do we head to our local booksellers?
Local bookstores. Amazon, but I'm a big local bookstore person. I'm signing copies at Diesel. That's my spot. Yeah. Love. So if you want a signed copy, they'll ship it to anywhere.
Or
I'll personalize them. But yeah, you guys could have written this book. So
no,
I
we
do
can't.
Think
we
I
really go can't. To Yale. We didn't go to Yale. Okay.
Yeah, no.
Okay. This one was joining a cult at orientation. Okay. The cult you write about, she tried to join. And they wouldn't have her.
Basically. I do really, I'm fraught with so much of what you're writing about, and I'm excited to dive into it.
Deep dive into it.
Because I do feel like, yeah, I do feel very disciplined and that I'm required to be very disciplined and it's, you know, let's get free. Jessica, I'm so excited to read Elise's book with you as a part of our Deep Dive Book Club.
I love it. I love it so
okay?
much.
Okay. And we'll figure out more of the details on that. Elise, we've asked our deep divers this week to show us their snacks for Snack Attack.
We want to see
and
your
so
snack. We
want to see
your
snack,
honey.
So just so you know, that's been our call out.
Cupboard.
That's been our ask this week. We are revealing our own snacks. We're not straightening up those closets. We're just photographing them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I will happily show you my snacks. It's
wonderful.
It's gonna shock. It's gonna shock.
We're gonna learn a lot.
Hashtag show me your snacks. SNAX. Okay.
We're gonna learn a lot about each other, and I just really thank you for your piece. I'm excited about your book. I thank you for bringing Peter into our space. How wonderful to get to know him. And I also, this just reminded me of, I want to plug a very special episode of Homophilia with our dear friend Matt McConkey that my sister is on, where they get to really, they do a beautiful episode about our friend who passed away, Michael Nice. Mm-hmm. And I want to encourage everybody, go over to Matt's podcast, Homophilia, and
listen to it
because it's really wonderful and hilarious and joyful and I want to share a little bit about him too, but thank you so much for sharing about Peter, and I'm grateful for him because he clearly has also been so much a part of your making.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
he's as well dressed over Elise. There as he is as he
thank
was.
Thank you,
on Earth.
Thank you for making me. Honestly, you guys make me laugh out loud every week, and I need that reprieve from all the hard stuff in the world. It's
Listen,
such a pleasure. Seriously.
Thank you, Elise.
We are ambassadors of fun.
Yes.
So we're just trying to do the work, you know?
Just trying to do the work.
Thank you, Elise.
Thank you, Elise.
Deep Divers. We'll see you next week.
Love
you.
Let's go on the deep dive. Let's go dive in deep. Let's go on the deep dive. No secrets will we keep. It's June and Jessica going deep. How deep can you go? Oh, really deep. Let's go on the deep dive. Let's go dive in deep.
The Deep Dive is produced by Earwolf, Jessica St. Clair, and June Diane Raphael. Our producer is Anna Cecilia, and our executive producer is Cody Fisher. Our sound engineer is Veronica Simonetti.
You can listen to our full archive of episodes on Stitcher Premium. For a free one-month trial, use code DEEPDIVE. Special thanks to Anne Geddes for our cover art and Lennon Parham for her sweet vocals. And remember, the best way to support The Deep Dive is to rate and review.